What's good, people? It's your girl Autumn the Aries, and I'm in this thing with Uncle Rico, Uncle Night Night, and Uncle Facts of the infamous Drunk Unks podcast. When you're done here getting drunk, because you already know how it goes. You hear the bell, you take a shot, you hear the bell again, you take another shot. I want you to stumble your drunk ass right on over to the Lit Life podcast, where you can find it on all major pod platforms, or simply hit your girl up on the socials at Autumn the Aries. Peace.
Drunk off, nigga. I got them drunk unks with me, whole out with a snap, but don't turn the mics on till you open the yak. Uncle Rick, Uncle Knight, then you got Uncle Facts, and we just giving them facts, cause it be realer than rap from 9 to 10. Come on, bring your conscience in. Listen up, cause we ain't got a lot of time to spend. If you don't got no drunk unks, you can vibe with them. They gon' tell you what it is and who not your friends. Tell the little kids they should cover their ears. The podcast of the gear, somebody grab him a beer. I can give you all bars just like Attica here, but drunk unks, stay about and let them have it in here, you know?
Welcome to Happy Hour with the Drunk Unks Podcast. We're your Drunk Unks. I'm Uncle Night Night. Across from me, the man behind the boards, social media savant, Trudy Jones, a.k.a. Uncle Rico.
Yo, what's going on, everybody?
Good old Uncle Cam is in the building with us. I crashed your show last night. You returned in a favor. And then it's that other guy. That don't need no introduction.
That's what he said. Numerous songs.
For y'all that don't know who he is, he's Uncle Facts.
So he's on his RBD shit already.
So, that being said, we're not nowhere near drunk as we should be. So we're going to hit y'all with this shit quick, efficiently, so we can get to business with our evening. As we do with every episode, we're going to start off with some rants. I'm going to go first because I know somebody else is going to talk about it. But God damn it, Bill Belichick did it again. We was on this show no less than a year ago, and I had a rant saying I don't understand how the rich keep getting richer when they got Josh Gordon. Now the Patriots got Antonio Brown.
Hey, they still got Demaryius Thomas.
He's still effective.
He's still effective, bro.
And he got hands.
When he got hands, he ain't got
100% hands.
He can be a number one receiver.
No.
Not holding on.
If he's the number one receiver, he never been out of Denver.
Facts.
No, he was for a long time.
He got hurt, and then they dealt him.
Okay, so he was the number one receiver.
So just because you get hurt, I mean, he ain't break his hand.
We don't think for salary reasons, first off.
I mean, regardless. So, okay.
So, you can name me 31 number one receivers better than him.
Bro.
It's 32 teams.
You don't play this game with me. So, stop.
Man, whatever game you want to play, man, you sound like you're sharp or something. I said, you need 31 receivers. That's better than him. So, it's 32 teams. So, you tell me he can't be number one.
He got cut from the Patriots, and they just re-signed him.
I just asked you a question, bro. I said, name me 31. It's 32 teams, right? 31 teams that's better than them, they can't start on as a number one receiver. That's what I'm saying.
Bruh.
That's the whole thing.
But it's not always about that.
He got cut from the Patriots.
That's semantics. That's semantics.
Then what did you talk about then?
I just said that he's a number one receiver. You said he's not.
He's not.
I said maybe 31 receivers better than him.
I will. I'm not gonna waste airtime doing it.
I'm just saying.
I'm not gonna waste airtime doing it. But if you get cut and then they re-sign you after they cut you because, alright,
but they resign
another dude get hurt. He could get cut again now because they just signed Antonio Brown.
That's like your job or fire you or something like, damn, we need help. I'm going to call John back up.
DT, if they cut you, come on home, baby.
He got released. He signed with the Texans. He couldn't even be the number two to arguably the best receiver in the game in DeAndre Hopkins.
He tore his Achilles.
Just saying. Injuries are still happening to him. Yeah. One.
But he was still productive while he was there.
But they still cut him.
Yeah,
it wasn't a salary cap cut at that point.
Well, they released AB.
Because you got him.
They released AB. He's still top 57 in the league. But he's still top. So my thing is always a different agenda. It's not always just because you're not talented though. it's always the team got their own agenda and what they want to do going forward in the future and everything. Don't forget about putting all that in the pot.
The job, they're going to get rid of you.
So my thing is, we all dispendable, yo. Receivers, running backs, quarterbacks, anybody. It's all the business.
But hey, Fresh, chill, bro. Chill. We trying to do the show, man. Chill. Keep on trying to get on the video and shit. Relax, bro. Relax.
So that being said, again, the rich keep getting richer.
Yes.
Bill Belichick, he ain't the GOAT no more. He a god.
Oh shit.
He a god.
I might agree with this nigga with that shit. Like,
Bill Belichick is a god.
Is he a god or he down with that motherfucking that Colt? What did y'all want to call him? What they call him? I ain't gonna say the name on air.
Start with
an I. But y'all knew what I'm talking about. Start with an I.
All I know is, my man, he like the best hustler I ever seen professionally.
Yo, he's
on a dollar.
He don't break the bank doing it, though.
That's what I said.
Yeah,
that's
like,
pennies on a dollar.
But word. Like, that's almost a guaranteed Super Bowl if you go play for him, though. Like
that's wild.
Either one of the two things, it's guaranteed you're going to make it to the playoffs.
Right.
So it's either going to be an AFC Championship ring and a Super Bowl.
What if the Patriots is playing the Steelers in the AFC Championship?
Wow.
He going to show up.
Oh, my God. I hope that happens.
But, yo, just 3 months ago, my bull, Kraft, was just had charges.
For picking up hookers.
Picking up hookers and shit.
Don't let this AB signing distract y'all from the fact that he getting happy endings.
That's crazy, though, right? That organization is crazy, man. I think they need to be... Yo.
They tried investigating them. It didn't work. with Deflategate, taping catch when they was practicing.
Spygate.
Yo, these niggas... These
so they worse than Trump?
These niggas is hustlers, yo.
Is they worse than Trump?
Ain't nothing sticking to them. Oh, we going to suspend Edelman. He going to come back and be Super Bowl MVP. That's dance crazy. Here, one of the biggest catches ever.
He like oil, man. Don't nothing stick to him.
Bro, should we right now go get our Patriots jersey?
No.
Nah, we ain't going to do that, Ben.
Nah, I'll smack the shit out of somebody.
Nah, we ain't going to do that.
Yo, I thought.
I'll stick to my now, silver and black.
When the Eagles won the Super Bowl, right, that parade, it was cold as hell today at the parade. I was out there. I can't imagine what them New England parades be like.
They ain't no shirts on. Like, rock on all them niggas.
Clear people.
Let's talk about Green Bay.
That explains parades. It all. That's all was all they
No, Green Bay's parade was inside. They flew to Minnesota to a dome.
Okay, yeah. Yeah.
Yo, and the crazy part about it is this. As you think about that, right? So, Green Bay has an outdoor field. Minnesota is just as bad as Wisconsin.
Right, yeah.
And Minnesota has no outdoor. It's all indoor. They like, the only reason they was outdoor a few years back is because the stadium got damaged due to snowfall.
Yeah, I remember that.
But Green Bay, they some troopers. Nah, dog, we outside. We in the elements.
No matter what.
But you practice indoors. What the fuck?
And we started this shit. So we can have any stadium we want. But we chose to be outdoors.
We who?
The original Super Bowl.
I mean, the original Lombardi, right? Ain't the first Super Bowl the so is named after him, right?
First two, actually.
Well, I mean, well, when they combined them, right?
Called the Vince Lombardi Trophy, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, raise the Vince Lombardi Trophy, but it's not Green Bay Packers.
So, because we got good old Uncle Cam in the building, feel like it's time to acknowledge this good brother. First and foremost, I want to say, you probably went through a world of emotions today.
I mean, you're right. To an extent.
In the beginning of the morning, probably like 7 a.m., you was like, yo, they just need to shut the fuck up with this AB shit. Then about 10 o'clock hit, the fuck they going to release him? And then 6 p.m., oh, now the Patriots signed it. You know what? Fuck all them dudes.
I knock all this shit over.
I saw this bitch up. The sad part is I actually kind of saw it coming. To an extent, like, I knew he was going to go.
I thought the apology, like, deaded everything. I thought that deaded everything.
But then he got on Instagram and said some dumb shit.
Yeah, because y'all
got a nigga recorded him and Gruden on the phone last night.
Yeah. Yo. Like Gruden didn't want to let him. Like John Gruden didn't want to let him go.
He was trying his hardest.
That's the worst part ever when it comes to these professional teams, when you got the head coach buying into the player, but the GM ain't feeling it.
Yep.
Like management. That's the worst thing.
The only thing that pissed me off about it, y'all say nigga behind closed doors all day every day.
Who?
Clear people.
Oh, clear people say nigga?
They say nigga, okay. And whatever terminology you want.
You think John Gruden be saying nigga?
I think he'd get away with it, though. I say he'd get away with it. He cool as shit.
So you think John Gruden walk up to, like, Vontaze Burfict? My good, nigga, man, that's what I'm talking
good
about.
Good play, man. My nigga.
I seen that shit, nigga. You hell yeah, nigga.
And then he get that Chucky.
He called one white person a cracker, and everybody in the world lost their rabid-ass mind.
No. It was the events leading up to him calling him a cracker. This whole summer, AB was wilding, and they were very, very lenient with him.
From the helmet situation on down, I agree with you. But
he was wilding all summer.
They made a big deal about the cracker.
They made a big issue about him kicking the ball at him. No.
Man,
the issue wasn't about him saying cracker. Honestly,
what he said,
kicked the ball at him.
Tell the cook. What he said?
Wide receiver punted the ball at you.
What he say, Rico?
So, quote unquote, it was. You cracker motherfucker, you old mayonnaise white boy, and then he kept on cussing. And then Mike Mayock was like, understand why you're upset. He started backing off.
$215,000 fine.
Yeah. So then AB punts a ball at him.
Well, at least I know y'all had a backup.
In front of everybody, in front of the whole team, the media, everything.
But this let you know right here, right? If you're good enough, right?
You get away with
you
some
get
shit.
Away from shit, yo. This is letting you know. As long as you good, you can say what the fuck you want to the bosses.
I mean,
the man, because he said this to the man.
You got to also understand John Gruden and his new contract when they brought him in. He got a lot of different stipulations where front office can't really fuck with him.
He got a 10-year deal. He got a 10-year deal as a head coach.
I'm talking about AB that's talking shit to the head coach. The CEO.
He controls majority of the operations from the front office. Him bringing AB getting to the Raiders was a John Gruden thing. It wasn't Al Davis' son. It wasn't a GM. That was a John Gruden thing.
Okay.
John Gruden wanted Antonio Brown. Yeah. Anytime
you any coach would want a great player like that, especially a melanated athlete like that.
The bad part in all of this is this, right? As I hate that everybody's talking about all the wrong things about AB. Because to Uncle Fact's point, the dude is good.
Yeah, he's fucking awesome.
He's fucking great. Is it top three or top four?
Definitely not top five.
He not?
Not right now.
Name me five. Oh, here we go again.
All right. I'm going to say.
DeAndre Hopkins.
I just said this last night.
Julio.
Odell.
What's the other bull?
Who?
The bull for the Saints.
And the bull
Michael Thomas.
And the bull from Kansas City.
No, not yet. He's just fast.
Al Davis. Matter of fact, not even Al Davis. In the words of John Madden, speed kills.
So you'll take Tyreek over AB right now?
Yes.
You had a draft?
Yes.
What the fuck is wrong with y'all?
In the words of Al Davis, you can't teach speed. I'll teach you
everything. But you can't teach an athlete what AB is.
How many corners can stick the ball?
How many corners can stick AB? None. I ain't met not one.
You.
Bro.
Jalen Ramsey is one of them.
Bro.
He gave him work.
You wanna go look at the YouTube films?
Listen, but I see him get torched by bums though.
I mean that's different.
So what you talking about? Semantics.
Semantics,
bro.
You say name one corner you can't
get torched by bums. But when you putting the best against the best,
Jalen Ramsey don't get burnt.
OB killed that nigga. Point the tape then. The Giants game. Yeah.
But the Giants wasn't good at the time.
But so what, though? They was battling.
No, the only reason
they
I
was say, battling, though.
See, it wasn't.
The reason I say that.
What's
that
game?
I'm not saying Beckham didn't do his thing. What I'm saying is that Jalen Ramsey is the type of player who gets up for the big moments.
Bro, they was talking about all week. OBJ against Ramsey. OBJ against Ramsey. But, that was a whole big thing on ESPN.
But if you look at the record of the Jaguars and the Giants,
so, the record,
the
so
game,
that's why they.
It's not an important game. Now, if it was the Super Bowl, I think it would have been a little
I ain't feel like fighting that day. That's why the bull beat me up and shit. because he was nobody.
That's not the same.
What you mean? I ain't get up for this. He's a nobody. That's not the same. Well, what's the difference?
That's what Mike said when Buster Douglas got it.
Hey, man. I'm just saying.
I'm not Mike Tyson.
All I'm saying is I saw OBG smoke this nigga. Like, I mean, do what he want to this cat. Listen, with Eli Manning as a quarterback. With no
offensive line. Without these gloves, a lot of these boys would be trash.
Oh, no, that's a whole different world. I ain't right. going to that.
As long as we agree with that. Without them gloves, a lot of these young boys wouldn't be catching shit.
I mean, but every wide receiver that was good.
I could catch without gloves. With
from the 80s till now wore gloves. Jerry Rice wore gloves. Chris Carter wore Taylor gloves. Was
a safety.
He didn't wear gloves in Ohio State. He wore gloves.
You better go back and look at some of the old Minnesota videos before this glove situation. He didn't have gloves.
Bruh, bare hands. He wore Newmans just like Jerry Rice.
You better go look back.
There's only one receiver didn't wear gloves. That was Wayne Kubrick, right?
Yeah. For the Jets. Like,
he didn't gloves. Understood why he didn't wear gloves.
He said he didn't believe in gloves.
I don't understand why he
didn't. Because he didn't believe it. He didn't believe in them.
Neither in New York in the wintertime, though.
See, Jets.
Facts. Neither in New York in wintertime.
Facts. Because that football coming in full tilt on a cold hand. But that's why a lot of his catches was body catches and tip and bring it in.
He was a good catcher. He wasn't a great receiver, but he was a good catcher. He could catch with no gloves.
With no gloves.
But then again, they would come from Chad Pennington. His arm was gummy. So it wasn't no drill. They were
not about Chad Pennington. He had Vinny Testaverde.
He did have it, but Chad Pennington had accuracy, but no his career, power. No
he
power.
Had Chad Pennington. He couldn't put it on the field. They were on point and accurate, but they were not hard throws.
Nah. Chad Pennington wasn't brought in for that. He wasn't brought in for that.
Shout out to Chill Will. What's going on, bro?
Real quick, though, I'm going to make sure I say this. And we talked about it probably on Monday ad nauseum. But still, big shout out to Uncle Drew and Trick Stewart. And Tubby.
Yes.
And the community as a whole and everybody who contributed for the labor of love that took place on Labor Day.
Yes. It was a good outcome. I liked it. The food was good.
Shout out to Uncle Cam. Uncle Cam came out there with a free book bag giveaway.
Yes. All the book bags were gone.
And you know what's crazy? I needed a book bag for work and I ain't grabbed one.
You know what?
Lonnie? No, that's true. I need one though, right?
You know what?
I was like, I need a boot bag to work.
He had the perfect one for you. It had a unicorn in the back. Oh. When he came in to work with that all that shit in there, boy, you lying.
Also,
what just happened, yo?
Also, before we dive into that at all, I want to take this time to shout out Uncle Rico. Earlier this week, a few of his neighbors had a fire and they lost their homes, and Uncle Rico was the first person who got up there, shared what the family put out there as they were reaching out, and they were able to raise a substantial amount of money just to help these families out. So shout out to Uncle Rico, and more importantly, shout out to the community for coming together just to help each other out.
You know, as you're supposed to do as a human being, especially your neighbors. It's people you around all the time. Especially for years, you're supposed to do stuff like that.
Yeah, that was tough.
If you got a platform, use it.
Right. Yeah, and I mean, he didn't do anything crazy. All he did was just share a post.
Sometimes that's all it takes.
And you know, old adage, all your friends ain't my friends, but people seen it. They seen that distress signal go up, and they just did whatever they could. And I'm pretty sure there's still people trying to do more for them.
Right.
So we wish all those families the best.
Yes.
As they try to deal and cope with this.
Because it's not easy recovering from a fire, though.
It's not.
Right before school.
School started Thursday.
The day before. It's crazy.
Ivy's that you can never that just don't have
facts. Value. Like the value of Ivy's.
Certain things
like,
you just can't replace. Like
because
TVs and stuff like that can be replaced.
Replace easy.
Pictures.
Photos. I was about to say photos.
Hard to replace.
You just think about it like this. You think about it in the purest sense. If you've been living in the house for like 3, 4, 5, 10, 15 years.
Yo, Miss Sonya was there 11 years.
Yeah, so 11 years, you know what I mean? Wherever you're going to lay your head at, it's not going to feel like home no time soon.
Facts. Right. Facts.
And then it's going to be a constant reminder of what happened.
I'm not saying I could, I'm not saying I relate, but I could relate, kind of, because I've been through something like that. We was at a crib. We grew up in Glen Meadows and everything. Our house caught on fire on Easter Sunday, Easter morning, matter of fact. That's why I hated Easter for a long time. Like, Easter morning, like, we lost everything. House on flames. Everything gone. Like, wait a minute. This is a holy day. How the fuck is this happening? Everything.
That's a good point, man. Because I'm not no over-the-top religious type person. But when things like that happen, I think it's human nature to want to, you know, literally be inquisitive with God.
You just want to question. Yeah, you asking me why.
We are not saying the Q word.
Yeah, you want to question it, though, because, like, it's...
And he blows it.
It's well, Easter. It's
you
Easter.
Know he's going.
but like, it's Easter morning, right?
It's going to be
we outside. I'm outside with underwears on, like pouring down raining, and everything is burning. First of all, it's Easter morning, so now the fire department is slow to
respond
because it's Easter morning though.
Well, like, hold on. I don't mean to cut your story, bro. But I've noticed since I've been down here, and I've been down here for quite a long time. Y'all emergency response and fire department.
Especially up here.
Because they volunteers, bro.
That's bad, yo.
That's why.
That's terrible.
It's all volunteers.
It's all volunteer, though.
Like,
shots up.
The bigger and larger your city is, the more money they have in the budget for full-time emergency response personnel.
Mm-hmm.
But if that budget ain't right, it's a...
Yeah, all small cities, like all small communities and cities, townships, and everything, got volunteers and everything. Like people that's in trainer trying to get.
It's so crazy.
So you imagine you had
Logan and Pensville came and saved the day the other day.
Nobody get paid. No fire department, no ambulance, none of these.
There's
people
no full time firefighters
in the Salem County area get paid.
Damn.
No, not at all.
That's crazy.
Now that's a labor of love.
Yeah. I'm so when people come to save the
burning
life,
building,
they doing it. Just as experience, they doing it for experience and training.
So they can go.
Damn,
towards
they training this on me. They trying to save my life, but they training. Oh shit!
Now
we gotta evaluate this shit now. Think about it.
Now, me myself personally, I never experienced a fire, but I did have something happen to me when I was around 9, 10 years old, probably about 9.
And you that size?
Nah. No, I wasn't. Keep it a bean. I wasn't.
Yo, we don't always be this. We don't start out this size.
Like my growth spurt hit between 12 and 13.
First of all, y'all, let me hear this.
At 10 years old, I'm keeping it a bean. Yeah, at 10 years old, I was 5'2".
Can I stop you off? Because he always told this big shit. First of all, y'all motherfuckers are guards. Lil has guards in the NBA, right? All right. Now go ahead, carry on. Y'all not big.
So I put hands on Shaq.
You know what I'm saying? Like you feel better now? Yeah.
I put hands on Shaq.
Cause he can't be big. Like you're not big. Steph Curry is 6'3". That's one you to everybody.
I put hands on that nigga.
Word.
The same size.
I put hands on Barkley
when you should.
Barkley. I put hands on Oakley.
Oh, Oakley.
Only nigga I ain't squaring up with is Matt Barnes. He's different. He's different.
Matt Barnes
and Ron Artest.
Yeah.
Like any nigga that look mentally unstable, I'm not fucking with mentally unstable.
Right.
What about my boy Randall?
Zach Randall?
Oh, I want that sauce.
What?
Fat head bitch. It's on.
That boy. That sauce.
Left handed too.
That's work.
I knock his block up.
Zero. Was it Zebo?
Zebo. What he told cousins? I'm from where the town where bullies get bullied. What are you talking about? And guess what? Cousins ain't want no smoke.
He's a Michigan nigga, so alright, whatever.
But cousins ain't want no smoke.
He's a Flint nigga. You know, he same place Mayweather was at. Or no, Mayweather was Grand Rapids. But I'm scared.
Rico would say.
But
that's so.
What I will say is this, right? So I was 9 years old, and I got robbed. So
Robbed with no gun?
No, my house got robbed.
Oh.
So, like, I remember the feeling coming in with no Nintendo, no TV, like, all my shit was gone. Yeah. I had clothes, I just didn't have no entertainment.
Nah, I had that with my Sega before, man. I was going to war on the street. Came in the crib and that bitch was gone. I'm thinking everybody playing a joke, so I'm looking at the bed, in the closet. Nah, somebody came and took that motherfucking Sega, man. Broke my heart, man. Murdered up.
Well, I'm from Gambit, so that shit just happens regularly. So.
Yeah. But that shit don't happen to us normally.
Nigga, you got black hands too, man.
We don't have a discussion. I never heard this story before.
Oh, that story.
Because you come in my house, it was going to happen to you. That's what I'm saying.
Nobody was in the house to do nothing to me.
That's what I'm saying. No. Nobody home.
It'd be different if I was there.
So
yeah.
So that was the benefit.
At the time, I fuck around with a dime for my Nintendo.
That's the benefit of growing up in a big family.
Shit too.
Somebody was always there.
Well, not just somebody was always home, but eventually it was like, nah, y'all niggas can't go. And then, I mean,
you know, growing up is.
Yeah. Like, realistically.
I mean, motherfuckers living in their house. Somebody in there.
Bro, you're never going to have the perfect opportunity.
Never.
Yeah.
Only way you're going to be able to break into there, you're going to have to start a fire 2 blocks down the street, and hopefully they all go there.
To save everybody.
But that's crazy. I guess.
Uncle Night Night, are we still doing rants?
Absolutely. Go ahead.
So, my rant is about the abrupt retirement of Nicki Minaj.
Thank God.
Ooh.
So, I've been seeing all these fucking Barbies and Stans and shit. And they, oh my God, Nicki Minaj, why? She's the best ever. Ah, whatever. This is why she fucking retired. When she was the queen for 8 summers, there was no female rappers. Now, you got Cardi B. She always on the charts.
Megan Thee Stallion.
Rap City will rap circles around her.
I don't even think that's a competition, though. I just think Nicki Minaj, like, she, first of all, shout out to Wayne and
Drake
and Birdman for capitalizing on that. So Wayne gets locked up. And on the heels of him getting locked up, he's got them two set up, and then Birdman executes the last part of it. Why he's
takes
going
all the money?
Right.
I mean, baby gonna get his money one way or another.
He might not pay you, but he getting his.
Yeah, definitely getting his. Move off the top.
But my thing is really though, is her reasoning was, oh, I want to start having a family. It was all good a week ago. You on Instagram with Megan Thee Stallion? Oh, we doing this, we doing that? A week later, of course, Rap City drop. Now, I know you guys are happy, but I'm retiring. I want to have a family right now. It's because she don't like competition.
All right, could I say something? All right, when she say that, I'm working on my family, right?
I want to have a family.
Okay, God, she been fucking, so, and we know she been fucking, like, so.
But if her been starting the kid, he can't be around the kid.
Huh?
He a rapist.
If her no boy had a kid, he can't be around the kid.
He a rapist? Child molestation?
Yeah.
So, if you get that charge, you can't be around your own child?
Nah.
Can't be around kids.
Period.
I'm talking about your own child.
No, you can't.
Period.
You can't be around no child, period.
Without supervision.
At all.
Well, this is going to be interesting. I'm sorry. I have no prior child molestation experience. I have no idea what to think about.
TMZ and everybody else exposed the ball.
I seen that, but I ain't know how that applied to your own children.
But my thing is like this.
Kids are kids, whether they're yours or not.
Hey, yo, can I say something, right? This is how you let you know that this shit is all cahoots. This shit is all a stage, and everything is like a playing field of what they doing, right? Because Nicki Minaj got access to all kind of paperwork. She got access to everything. That's because money gives you access to anything, right? Mm-hmm. So she, when she met this nigga, she knew.
Oh yeah.
What he was and what he's.
I think she's grew up with him before.
That's what I'm trying to say. Is like yeah, so she my thing. Is, so check this out though, bro. You knew what this cat is and the energy, the bad energy that he gonna bring to you to yourself, but you still went along with it. Did you go along with it because you had no choice? Or you went along with it because you like this motherfucker? Let's think love? About it though.
Is it love?
I don't know. Is it love,
bro?
She was she's in love with me. She's jumping at different people. She was with old boy like a month later, so I ain't buying that shit.
She was with, first of all, she was with the one boy like what, 10, 15 years? Safari?
Yeah.
That fizzles out. She started messing with me. That fizzles out.
Did she went to Nas for a little bit?
Where she was spending time with Nas. Mm-hmm. And now she with the bull. Apparently, and I hate to say this, but I hope people understand it. It's not bad to be alone.
Yeah.
You don't have to keep jumping in relationships.
So, like, you think she feels the need to be with somebody?
I don't think
I think what it is that when you reach a certain level of celebrity, no matter what you're doing, sports, entertainment,
acting,
all that.
Right.
I think at a certain point, you enter into a point of isolation. Because if you're so popular, you can't go to Walmart, you can't go to the supermarket, you can't go to the mall, you know what I mean? Your options become very limited. So anybody who you let in that circle, you know, you're naturally going to build a bond with them. Now, if she was just Onika Mirage, customer service rep at T-Mobile, I don't think she would make some of these decisions like that.
Right.
But like when you're famous, like you know you can't do everything. So you become somewhat introverted by default.
Right. I mean, I get that, but I just feel like a need to be, I don't know, needed maybe? I don't know. It's a need there to where you can jump from relationship to relationship.
There's a void. There's a void you're trying to fill
after a breakup.
Hey, girls do it every day. Niggas do it every day. Be in the hood. So what makes Nicki Minaj different from everybody in the hood? Because you're famous. At the end of the day, feelings don't have no fucking way of measurement of money on top of it.
Take it how you want to take it, but I feel the same way about the regular niggas like I feel about them. That's just too damn.
That's what I'm saying. So
you had an alternate agenda.
Her ultimate agenda is what?
If you break it up with somebody, you somebody the following month.
Like, that means she was fucking him already. That's all that means.
Again. Yeah.
Okay, she been fucking him, bro. It happens every day in the hood, B. So why are you making a big thing because of Nicki? We see it every day in the hood, B.
And I just told you, I feel the same way about the hood.
All right, so you got a problem with that?
Yeah, I do.
No.
Because it happened to you.
Wrong with me. Not at all.
No, I said if it happened to you, you got a problem with it. But if you fuck a girl that... that's got a relationship with a dude, you cool with that?
I don't move like that.
Okay.
I ain't everybody else. I'm me.
Relationship with you.
Huh?
You might deal with a John and just.
I'm talking about dealing with. Like, first of all, titles. We all know titles is bullshit. We all know titles is bullshit. People play around with titles and everything. My boo's thing, my bae.
Stop
my
saying that. Fuck.
But do people say it? Do people say it?
Yo, I got it. Wait. I got a question.
What's up?
Do you call your girl your boo stick?
Nah, no, I don't use that. But people do it, though.
You pissed about that shit.
Yo, people do it, though. Like, what I'm trying to say is, like, this shit's happening every day. Like, whenever you see somebody break up, all of a sudden, they with somebody else and everything, they ain't just meet that person. All of a sudden, they putting pictures up and on, I'm talking like Instagram, Facebook. No, they've been dealing with that person already. Who the fuck that's going to meet a person and take a picture of them?
But you know what? I think to kind of bring it back a little bit, because we spoke about it briefly earlier, she dealt with the dude before. So there's a level of
she never stopped
being, being
never
comfortable
stopped,
with the
she boy. Never stopped talking.
There's a level of comfortability there already. So, like, I think the dude did time behind that, too.
Yeah.
So while he was locked up, she was dealing with the other bull, Safari.
So that...
So out of sight, out of mind, but now you come home, right, so, and now you gotta...
Alright, so you giving her as a past...
No.
What you saying is that, right? The reason why I'm fucking with these other people because you made a bad decision. You got locked up. So I had no choice. Woman's needs gotta be carried on. You know what I mean? So I had to do what I had to do and everything. That gave me the pass.
But her situation is the perfect storm. So she messing with the bull, right? The bull go down. At that point, her career start popping.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So you dealing with the other dude. And your career start popping.
Okay.
Like, we only know the other dude. We only know Safari because of Nicki.
Okay. Right. Yeah.
I mean, facts. Even though that he quote unquote has a music career.
Does he?
Nobody's really co-signing that music career.
Yeah.
It's no knock on the homie. You just trying to maximize the moment. I'm with it.
All right, but so in that night, what we gonna do is, right, we gonna take Nicki Minaj, right,
mm-hmm.
what she went through this now with the dude and everything, and we gonna use it for the everyday life, because at the end of the day, I would rather deal with the everyday life than deal with some superstar motherfuckers don't give a fuck about us, right? So what Nicki Minaj going through is shit that we see every day in the hood, right?
Okay.
All right, so a dude get locked up, right? And all of a sudden, they girl venture off, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she end up getting into a relationship with
I'll say this for a third time. They weren't together when he got locked up.
Okay, bro. Okay.
But, okay.
When I'm going somewhere this. Say this.
Let me say this really quickly, right? The dude made enough of an impression that when he came home and she was available,
yeah,
it was no problem for her to slide back in there. So even though what you're saying, I get it, but... This goes back to one thing me and Uncle Facts always talk about. Can't control who you love. She probably loved a nigga before he went down. Even though she was in a new relationship and it was developing, you didn't turn off your love for the nigga from the previous relationship.
Right.
The priority changed for that love. Hmm. So, you know, I was with this dude, but we not together no more. So now I'm with this other dude.
But I still love this dude.
But I bet you when Bull got pinched, she felt a certain type of way. I bet you when Bull was locked down,
she held him down.
I'm not going to say she held him down.
I'm talking
financially. But I bet you she probably held him down some sort of way. She probably reached out to him. Might have been through a third party. But I'm pretty sure she sent a letter. I'm pretty sure a phone call happened. I'm pretty sure she may even put something on the books.
Right.
Because there's no way you go from point A to point Z. It's B, C, D, E, and so on and so forth.
Like 25 of them. Like,
yeah, like 20, there's like 26, point A so and point Z. Between. There's 24 other points. I'm pretty sure Bull hit at least like 23 of the 26 letters. But, you know.
I mean, that's something to think about, though, right? Because it happened. The reason I'm saying, we paying attention to it because it's Nicki, right? But this shit been going on in our everyday life, nobody talk about.
But the thing about it is this. You remove, it's Nicki Minaj, right? I think it's unhealthy for anybody to jump from one relationship to the next.
Right.
Because you can have the bleeding effect.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
That's what it's called.
And then what I mean by the bleeding effect is, let's say, old girl single again, you
go back to her again.
No. Well, you think about it like this, right? You're in a relationship with a chick, right? Okay. Y'all in a relationship for 6 years, right? Y'all not in a relationship no more. Boom, you jump into a new relationship with another chick. First time the new chick really make you mad. Her name's Stacy, old chick name was Lisa. When the first time she make you mad, you be like, Lisa, yo, what the fuck wrong with you? Right. Bleeding effect.
Facts.
Bleeding effect. It's essential, me personally, this is my thoughts. It's essential when you get out of a relationship, you need to take some time and be by yourself. So emotionally, you can start to sever the ties from your previous relationship so you don't carry none of that weight into your new relationship.
You gotta heal
from
the damage that
And you can't just cut it off like that.
You have to You have to take time and be introspective of your previous relationship. You think about the things that the other person did to you, and then you have to be honest with yourself about the things that you did to that person.
Okay, right. 90% of relationships fuck up because of what? Other parties.
No, lack of understanding.
Listen, true.
Lack of understanding.
So
lack of understanding.
Check this out. I'm gonna show you why it's not lack of understanding, right? Listen, a lack of understanding meaning that me and my girl had a disagreement about she wanted me
what?
To.
I just realized what you just said. But go ahead. Go ahead, bro. Show us why it's not lack of understanding.
Me and my girl could have like a disagreement about like she was mad because I stayed out late or something like that. You know what I mean? So now we beefing and shit like that, right? We beefing, we ain't talking to each other. We go into the quiet zone. I call it not twilight zone, the quiet zone. Quiet zone is me and you and your girl.
No communication.
No communication at all.
Silent treatment.
Even though y'all with each other, even in the same place.
Silent treatment.
No communication.
Don't care how long
I think we've all been there.
Don't care how long that quiet zone lasts. It doesn't matter once it ends. The relationship title is still there. It's because, you know why? It's because they're there. There's nobody else. So communication is not what I'm talking about. Most relationships like end because the quiet zone is because of somebody else. Not because of communication.
I get what you're saying.
Not because of like, first of all, it's been so many fights. How many people be fighting, getting their ass whooped? Girls be getting their ass whooped and they stay with the dude and everything. They fucking begin treating like they're caught the dude cheating
that's
like.
That's a false. That's a
listen,
false.
Listen, hold on. I ain't done yet. Well, jump in when I'm done.
Let me go.
Get caught cheating. Like, dude get caught cheating 30 times and shit, but you stay there and shit like that. You done fucking, the nigga ain't fucking work a day in his life, but you stay there and shit like that. All of a sudden now you met a dude, that dude talking to your ear, all of a sudden, boom, I'm done.
So what you're saying is...
So that communication shit is bullshit.
So...
Somebody else is the cause of you fucking leaving somebody else. It's simple, man. Life is simple. Stop trying to say communication, all that shit. You can talk all you want. You can communicate all you want and everything. But attention is better than love right now.
That's what I'm about to say. So what you're saying is that... And I agree a large portion of what he's saying. Because I remember seeing... females I knew, they would explain what was going on with them and their situation. It was sad when you heard the story.
Right.
And then I always ask the clear cut question.
Why are you still
there? Why are you still there?
Still there?
Now that answer used to fluctuate. It would bounce between a couple of things.
Oh, first thing with years in.
First thing was we have so much time in. Second thing would be, this is the only relationship I've known for so long. Then the third thing would turn around and be like, I've been in this relationship so long, I don't know what another relationship feels like. You know what I mean? I can't prepare my mind mentally to deal with something else.
Right.
So, but to Uncle Fact's point, right, eventually, like everybody that's in a relationship, it's like a sponge. So the sponge job is to soak up all the moisture. But eventually, you have to wring the sponge out.
And start over.
So it can start doing its job again. So now, if your sponge is filled up, and now that attention from somebody else comes when the sponge is filled, now it's like, wait a minute, I can wring a little bit out and let this attention in.
Right.
And then it turns into, well, I can wring a little bit more out and let more of that attention in. The reason I say I agree in part what you're saying is this, right? Most people don't understand that when people who've been together for an extended amount of time, right? They're not able to recognize that you're still holding on to things that happened years ago, right? So if you're still holding on to things that happened years ago, you've never let them go. So you've never given your relationship an opportunity to either
blossom.
Grow, yeah. Blossom,
prosper or even really truly get past what happened. Because at the end of the day, niggas want to be God body, but ain't nobody gods. We all humans, except for Bill Belichick. Facts. Full circle moment.
Except for Bill Belichick. I use your sponge analogy as far as with the letting go. Now, if you accepted the fact that these things transpired in your relationship and you haven't let them go, you haven't given your sponge opportunity to soak up the new things or the change that may be or may not be happening in your relationship. So you choose to be selfish. Now, when this new attention, like Uncle Fax said, comes along, now you choose to give your sponge room to absorb this information or this love or this attention. It's a false sense of security, if you want to be for real, because if you actually gave a fuck about the situation that you're in, if you were willing to stay, then that should be willing to give you room to let go. You should squeeze that sponge out to absorb what's new and not what's going, what could be possible. Now you get attention from an outside source. You want to wring it out and give a little bit of spit, a room for your sponge to absorb.
I did.
When in all actuality, you could have done the same thing with the original situation. You could have got rid of the bullshit. You could have let it go. Just because you let it go don't mean you forgot about
facts.
But you just accepted to move on and make the situation better.
What I was saying, I don't think y'all both got what I was saying, though. Y'all grasped a little bit of it. But what I'm saying is, right, when I was telling my, when me and my girl was sitting down talking and everything, right, a lot of people move on when they got no choice or they got, like, because somebody left them, so they moved on just because somebody left them or anything like that. If my girl leave me right now, right, she left me, and then all of a sudden, like, 5 months down the road, 6 months down the road, 8 months down the road, 10 months, a year down the road, she still ain't met nobody, or she's still not with nobody, that means she moved on because she didn't want to be with me. That's a relief to me, too. As in, it wasn't
just you.
It wasn't just nobody else. No. It was something that, man, you ain't as compatible with.
That's a genuine joint.
Listen, so my thing is, what happens is with everybody else, people move on and they end up with somebody else. So like, wait a minute. So did you really like them already? Or you was trying to talk to them already? Or you wanted to be with them? You ain't really want to be with me, you want to be with them? So that's what I'm talking about. So communication is not the key. That's what I was saying, that it was not communication. You communicate all day with your girl and everything, right? My thing is, it's things that you feel inside your head, things that you think about, you would never relate to your significant other. Because guess what? It's not irrelevant at the time. So you can't say communication. Listen, you can't say communication. So when you see somebody been in a relationship for 10 years, 5 years, 6 years, even 1 year, a 1-year commitment of posting somebody on social media, and all of a sudden now you're posting somebody else, that's a problem. Now you post somebody else.
That necessarily is not the problem with the person that you're dealing with. It could be a problem.
I'm not saying that. Okay, see, you missed what I'm saying.
I'm asking you, I understand.
No. Here's what I want to ask you as it pertains to this, right? I know you said communication ain't really what it is. And I genuinely agree with that. But, you know, I rebuttal that to say this. Because we've said on this show, if you really get into a relationship with somebody and y'all, and you excuse the analogy, but when y'all come to the table and you put all the bad about you with all the good, and then somebody says, okay, I want parts. Now, you have an informed decision about what's going to happen with us. So I get you with the communication thing. I just think a lot of people don't utilize times to communicate, to have honest communication. You know what I mean? Because honest communication, right? If you're talking to your girl, your wife, your fiance, whatever they may be, right? If you're talking to them and you're telling them the stuff you don't like, or if you're telling them the stuff you want,
and they're not providing it. A lot of people avoid that. A lot of people avoid that turn.
I get that.
That truth.
For the quote unquote peace of mind of just saying, instead of this turning into an argument or someone becoming defensive about what I'm telling them.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Honest communication can work wonders, because honest communication is not coming from a place of spite. It's not coming from a place of hatred
or anger.
It's not coming from a place of being petty. It's coming from the heart.
Right.
But what you're saying about honest communication, right? I'm all for putting everything on the table. But I'm also know that you can put everything that you think about on the table. Like, you can't put everything that you think about on the table. I'm going to tell you why. Because, like, you could be in a situation with your girl. Y'all could be somewhere around, like y'all could be at the movies, anything, going to the movies, at the concession stand, like, all of a sudden, you and your girl stand up there, you see another girl, like, you're like, oh, shit, god damn. Babe, why the fuck you ain't wear what she had on? Or why the fuck you ain't put on what she had on? Who the fuck you talking to? Wait a minute, I was thinking to myself. I ain't say that out loud. So my thing is, you cannot be honest 100%. When I told John, when me and John talked about bringing everything to the table, that's the beginning of foundation. Meaning that, okay, I set my flaws. This is my flaws. This is the things that I got. Bring it to the table. Are you with me or are you not? That's bringing it to the table. But as far as your everyday life, you can't do it. You can't bring everything to the table.
I'm going to say this.
Because when you put your pillars, you can't tell you. So you going to tell your girl everything you did with us?
No.
But you honest. If she asks you, you got to tell her. Because you honest.
Put a flag on the play. What? Shots up.
I had no more shots, but my bad.
I was not gonna let you crack a beer, bro.
You see me though. I was trying to crack something, right?
Listen. I appreciate the effort, bro. You wasn't going not yet. You just wasn't going.
So
you
know, I was like,
so. But we're not gonna let you go out like that.
You called an audible. Yeah, B. You know, so that can't have you do
we
that.
I'll say this.
I'm not going to say it's not being honest. It's not what you say. It's how you say it.
But it's when you want to say it, though. Nah, when you're comfortable saying it.
It's not about being comfortable. It's how you present the
situation. Bro, honesty is honesty. There's no levels to it.
No, but there are no levels to honesty. But it's how you say it.
You make it honesty. If your girl say, what you do last night? Oh, my bad. If your girl say, what you do last night with Lonnie and John and them, right?
Drink.
You going to tell her everything. She said, I want details.
We drank liquor.
Bro, I'm talking about this. So that means you're not being honest.
No.
What do we do?
I'm giving her exactly
what she
asked
me. Man, Lonnie was talking about this. Man, Lonnie, we did this.
That's not what she asked me. What did I do with your last night?
What I'm trying to say is, bro, no, bro. Listen, bro.
You're fabricating
the truth. That's what you're doing right now.
No, I'm eliminating all extra bullshit.
No, fabricating the truth is a liar.
No, it's not.
Bro, listen, pay attention now.
Go ahead, I'm listening.
Listen, you telling her the truth and what you want to deliver the truth to. That makes you more wrong than anything.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is, bro.
I'm going to tell you why.
First of all,
she asked me a specific question.
Hold on.
What did I do with y'all?
Wait, bro. I'm going somewhere with this. The day that y'all put everything on the table when y'all met, right?
Mm-hmm.
I want to put all my flaws, right? I want to put everything. Your girlfriend's supposed to be your best friend. Your wife's supposed to be your best friend. That's what everybody want. That's a great goal that everybody want, right? We all know that I'm your best friend, right? You'll come and tell me, yo, Lonnie, that bitch had a fat ass. I want to fuck her. I might fuck her. But if she give me the number, right? You're not going to tell that to your wife. So my thing is, when you fabricate the truth to your wife, so that means you failing as communication. That's why I went away from communication, because you can't put communication on the table because it's not going to be right, bro.
That's what I meant by honest communication. Because, like to his credit.
Go ahead.
I want to make sure we understand this, but to his credit, he has a very accurate point, because you should be able to tell your significant other everything first. And I'll tell you, as a nigga who's been married 10 years last Thursday, there are still things that I would...
Hold up.
Bro, you take time out, crap my boy. Yeah. 10-year anniversary.
Y'all niggas.
What's this? Damn, like you, bro. Come on, man.
But there are still things. Me and my wife have been married for 10 years. We've been together for 11 years. We've known each other for 20 years.
Right.
Right? But there still are things that I struggle to tell her first. But this is the process. This is the process.
But see, a lot of people don't over, like, you don't want to piss her off or like hurt her feelings type shit, or so, I mean, I'm asking.
No. That's a very good question. Some of it is
ain't none of your business.
No, bro. No. Why do you say that?
Some of it is I'd rather keep us in our happy place.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes our happy place isn't an honest place.
Mm.
You get what I'm saying?
I got you.
So there's still things that I struggle to come to her first with. So the person who I consider to be my best friend, we've been friends almost 30 years.
It's a difference.
Because so the person that I've been friends with for almost 30 years, this nigga has seen me from adolescence to a young adult to an adult to parents. Like, so they know more just because they've been around longer.
Right.
Doesn't mean that they're higher than my wife. It just means there's a natural level of
bonds.
Comfortability
bonds.
And a bond that's been built for so long.
Okay. I get that,
I'm going to throw this scenario in here right now. And this is just from us being around each other. So let's just say we all go out for a minute.
Don't give me no countdown, bro. If the conversation good, we're going to keep rocking. Yeah. But go ahead.
No, I'll just let you know when the hour was up. I'm sorry, sir.
Let's say you do some bullshit that night while we out. Okay. Since this is your conversation, we're going to go with Uncle Facts.
All right.
So let's just say Uncle Facts do some bullshit, whether it be violent, whether it be some bullshit I know you ain't supposed to do. Uncle Facts do some bullshit that night. So whenever I get home, my wife says to me, so what y'all do tonight? Oh, we drank a little too much. I'm not going to tell her specifically what you did. Even if her little cousin did something, I'm not going to tell her specifically what he did. We went out drinking. I'm leaving out anything that doesn't involve me.
But guess what? If I had to ask you, you would tell me though. If John asked you...
That's us though. That's us.
What's the difference between your best friend being John, or friends being John,
so
and your wife.
So it's okay to pillow
and your
talk
wife.
About
no, your wife.
Business? So when my wife comes around us, and we are in a us setting.
You know best friend
mean? She side-eyed you because of something you did that I told
okay,
her
you know
about
best,
the night before.
You know best friend mean, right?
Yeah.
All right, best friend is somebody.
No, go ahead.
Your best friend is somebody that will... You'll meet in your life, right?
Mm-hmm.
That you'll never meet again.
Mm-hmm.
They say, well, history says that you only get one best friend.
Okay.
You'll meet a lot of friends, a lot of companions, a lot of associates.
But you only have one. That's
you only have one best friend, right?
A lot of great friends.
All right, so people play along with this marriage shit, right? Marriage shit's supposed to be greater than best friend. So you mean to tell me, right? I'm more comfortable with my best friend than my wife because I can tell my best friend everything I did. Wrong or right, because that's my best friend, right? I'm talking in general. I ain't not pointing you out.
No, I'm saying what I did, though.
So, then I come along to my best friend, and I tell him, like, yo, I fucked up. I did some crazy shit, right? But the person that I supposed to came one with, called marriage, what you want to call it, I don't know what you call it, I don't know what your religion is, I don't know what you believe in, but marriage is something that was brought from a religion. That was not no way of life. Anyway, so you believe in marriage.
Mm-hmm.
She's supposed to be your number one.
Mm-hmm.
Cause y'all supposed to be as one.
Right.
The way you think it, she think it.
Facts.
That means you lying to her because you only give her what she
asked me for.
Exactly, bro. But your best friend, you would tell me all the details.
My best friend, I tell him nothing, which is my big brother. Y'all met my big brother.
Bro, what I'm trying to say is, right?
I understand, but everything ain't for everybody.
No, that's false. That's false, bro. It's false because my thing is, every great night that me and John had we shared the next day with each other, right?
Okay.
Every great night that I had with me and John or anything, I never shared with my significant other because, know why? You know why? You want to know why?
I'm listening. But I bet you there's shit that you
Nah, listen. Because negativity is going to come about, right?
Okay.
But guess what? What if your best friend, what if your wife understand what you do? What if your best friend, what if your wife, your best friend, slash, understand, know that when you and your bros get together, y'all get drunk, have a good time, we get fucked up, yes, we might do some stupid shit. But guess what, babe? Yeah. I'm going to come tell you when I wake up what I did, babe. Oh, my God. So I can't believe you did this shit.
Shit you do over that?
No, but I can't.
Oh, okay.
Imagine how much, how what kind of level it would have taken a relationship if she know that you going to tell her. You know what I'm saying?
Let me ask you this one question.
That'll change everything.
I'm not trying to. I just want to ask you this one question. Is there anything at this table that you've done that everybody know about? Yes or no?
Me?
Yes.
Moments? Because we got a lot of moments. Like, hold up.
I asked you a simple question.
Look, no.
That's real shit, right?
Yeah, John know about.
Does he know 100% of everything?
When we met each other? Yeah.
Period.
No, I can't. Because we never really spoke about before we met. That's about the, when we
but
got together.
Your best friend.
Our journey started together.
Okay.
Meaning when we met each other.
But yo, Lonnie, what you're saying goes back to what he said.
What?
Is that it's the history between you
two
and your best friend. So, all right, you might have met your girl 5 years ago. You've known him 20.
Okay.
So it's easier to tell him than it is to tell your girl. I mean, your wife, whatever. But no.
We talked about this.
But I'm saying.
Yeah, we did.
Not saying that it makes it better. It's easier for you to go to him first.
Okay.
Before you even think about going to her with it.
How? Why?
The reason?
Comfortability.
Because you don't have to sleep longevity. With your best friend.
Facts.
Exactly. Okay. My thing is, hey man, we talked about this. Okay, the problem is titles, right? Titles. You calling somebody your best friend, this is my love of my life, this is my forever, this is my everything, I would die for this person, this is my other half and everything. Everything you describe in this person is best friend. But guess what? He got a best friend over here. Do that make any sense? No, it don't make no sense. Because that means our wordplay is fucked up. Everybody act like they're so smart.
I feel like this.
Everybody act like they're so smart, but the wordplay is fucked up.
You have your childhood best friend, then you got your wife best friend.
See? But you're playing around words.
No, I'm not. No, listen.
No, I think the play on word is what he's saying is this, right? When you say the best, there's nothing higher than the best. There's nothing adjacent to the best. The best is number one. We're not talking about one and 1A or 1B. Realistically, your spouse should be the best.
Facts.
Because this is the person.
Facts.
Because everybody here, we can all say we're best friends right here, right now.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody here, when we say that, right? Nobody at this table can tell you your deepest, darkest moments. Nobody, we could tell you the stuff we perceive on the outside as your darkest moments.
Mm, right.
But it doesn't mean you as the individual are claiming that. Yeah, it was a bad moment, but this was a worst moment.
Right.
But the worst moment that ever happened to me, I've never shared with y'all because...
I don't want y'all judging me.
Not even judgment. It's because at the end of the day, I'm still coping and dealing with my worst moment. No matter how far you are in your life, in terms of years, as it pertains to your age, right? Now, me and Lonnie met each other as teenagers. But if something really bad happened to Lonnie at 5 years old,
he's not going
to
tell you.
He's not obligated to tell me that. No. Because when I met him as a teenager, he was still dealing with it. Now, if he wants to share it as his friend, I'm here. I can't tell you I can do anything for it. I can't tell you I'm going to make it any better.
Right.
But I'll be your ear to listen to it.
But I'll definitely be an ear to listen. But if you don't share that with me, it doesn't take away from our friendship any less.
Right. And so, you can't hold it against me either.
No, nah, not at all.
But my thing is, I said the titles that we talked about, like not on this show, but we talked about another show. But we talk about titles, like people play around with titles, like Friends.
I could have swore that happened on Drums first.
Like a friend, that's my friend, best friend, job friends. People fuck that up.
Yeah.
100% of the time. Job friends.
Job friends are nothing but convenience.
Yes.
Because these are people that are around you.
12-hour shift.
But you use the word friend, though.
Right? You use them as a friend, but they're not a friend.
I'm not drinking with you when we get up out of here.
So, though, if I choose you as my wife, right? Savings like me, Uncle Fat's getting married. I choose you as my wife, right? Once the moment I choose you as my wife, if you go by the marriage standards, the so-called marriage standards, the marriage standards with a wife is and everything. That means a male and a female. Well, let me get rid of that because all the bullshit.
Two people.
I'm gonna go by two people. I call myself.
I'm proud of you.
Yo, two people get together and they become as one.
Right.
That means my thought is your thought, my future is your future, my past is your past. That's what it means.
That's all it means. That last part.
Now listen, what happens is, right? A lot of people do it just because of tradition, and they don't follow along through it with it, and start sharing everything. Like the moment that I propose to you, right? I supposed to share my deepest, darkest secrets. You know why? Who the fuck gonna help me with it? But you. You were the one gonna help me get through this.
You're the one I'm relying on. To get me through it.
Facts.
Because
this shit bigger than Eno Brown. Yo, like it's I'm telling you, I'm not even married. That's the man you want. So I'm not even married, but I feel this shit.
Let me ask you this question, Uncle Facts. So say we all tonight we leave this table right now.
Okay.
And we go out and one of the five of us do some bullshit. You gonna tell your wife which one of us?
Check this out, dog.
Wait, I didn't finish. You gonna tell your wife which one of us out of the five did some bullshit, or are you gonna tell her enough to understand what your night is consisted of?
Check this out. Me and my wife is at one, right? Be like, yo, babe, listen, babe, I fucked up. It was a big booty chick in the corner. John told me don't touch her. I grabbed her. Wait. This is what I'm trying to say is, I'm the only one mad at her when she asking about. Y'all had nothing to do with it. So if I'm telling my story, listen. What I did was grab that big booty bitch, had her in that corner, I put her leg on my fucking shoulder, and you know she
good
broke.
Girl.
Like, yeah. Alright, so guess what? After that, she don't wanna hear about y'all. Why she wanna hear about y'all?
So what if you don't grab that big booty chick and put her leg on?
And then what? That
I was did some bullshit that night. So first are you gonna
of all,
tell her?
Hey bro, if your girl
that's a yes or no
listen,
question.
Bro, no, it's not a yes or no question. Bro, stop. Don't do that. Don't put me in a box. Bro, don't put me in a box. Don't do that.
Listen,
we all know that yes or no question is a box, and for people that is not capable or like incapable
of
listening.
So you're going to expose me to your old lady?
No, yes what I'm trying to say is, bro, if my wife asked me what I did, why would she ask about you?
That's a good point.
No, you see what I'm saying?
If you didn't do anything.
When everybody's girls is tied in, it's a pipeline.
No, hold on. That's something different, though. Now, if she say that, well...
You didn't do anything.
I ain't gonna do no names. Like I had to cut myself. If she say that motherfucking Rafiki from Lion King.
Rafiki.
Rafiki from Lion King said that Lonnie, you was and John was doing something like that. Well, babe, listen, babe, I don't know who the fuck Rafiki is, but I fucked up. I grabbed that bitch and me and her was humping on the ground in front of everybody. I shouldn't have did that. They don't got nothing to do with John. And she used John name and my name. It don't got nothing to do with John.
I think what he's saying is that, and it's a valid point too. I think what he's saying is this, right? 9 times out of 10, your significant other wants to know your actions.
You
not your circle's actions,
yeah.
So what I asked you was, what I actually asked you was.
That shit bigger than that, though.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is.
It is.
Because we all lie.
No, it's bigger than that, bro.
I'm going to tell you why it's bigger than that. Because if we lie, if I go out and say Molly was somewhere and she... Fuck me!
Fuck me!
Say for instance that like her girlfriend or somebody was like, "Yo, I seen Lonnie," said this, such boom and everything like that. All right, boom. So now my girl know what her girl saw or what she saw. So now at the end of the day, right? Even though you were doing some bullshit,
Don't fucking point at me, yo.
Well, my girl, the one she sleep with every night, the one she love, the one she come home with too, she want to know what I was doing.
But your original statement was, the Uncle Facts was complete honesty. And what I'm
asking... No, complete honesty is
Wait. What I'm asking you is, you saying complete honesty. So, say you in the corner, say it's a cake night. All
right.
When you can't focus, you just sitting there.
Why are you gonna bring the cake? Oh, this is Wally. This is gonna bring the cake. Why you bring the cake? Why you bring that?
This is the only night where.
And I sat there, nigga. Yeah.
Shit.
I ain't talking to nobody. Like,
so, you didn't do shit.
What
my
dad is that?
We talking complete honesty. So, are you gonna talk about what everybody else did? Because once again, it's complete honesty.
Bro, if your girl wanna know about everybody else, all your other boys is a problem.
You did something wrong.
Bro, listen.
No.
That's the problem, bro.
When I say you did something.
You said the wrong thing.
No, bro. What I mean by that is I was on this side of the table when I said that. When I say you did something wrong, it means, like, I wholeheartedly understand what Uncle Fax says. Your significant other should never ask about your friends.
Facts!
Because what your friends do,
you said complete
should or should not have any impact on your relationship. The same way as your significant other as it pertains
but what I'm saying is complete. What we were talking about was complete honesty.
No, what we're talking about was an honest conversation. An honest conversation does not mean I need to indict anybody else. But an honest conversation is, what did I do?
Okay. Bro, that's all your girl want to know. Your girl asks your friends.
Because your significant other. Because at the end of the day,
individuals who can sit there and say, oh, well, I ain't do nothing. But it's the only reason why I bring this up, because there are individuals around you who will say, well, I wasn't doing nothing.
Okay.
But X, Y, and Z was. So the only reason why I ask about complete honesty, is, again, if you can't sit there and say, oh, well, all I did was this, and we had a drink.
Why do your girl ask your other boy?
I'm not saying that.
I said, in general, why do girls
ask friends? Why would your significant other want to know what your friends are
because
doing?
Because the nigga was out of the
office. I'll tell you all fair. But I have a question for y'all. So, had somebody hit me up one day this week. Gave me a story. I'm like, should come on the show and let my boys hear this and give you their honest opinion. All right, so let me flip the script. It's a female. Now I'm coming from a male perspective. All right, so let's say you get with a chick, right? Her baby dad buying her cars.
Cars?
If she get locked up, he the first one to help bail her out. Are you okay with that? Even though they have an A-plus relationship, you know, with them, the kid, stuff like that.
Can I go first?
No, hold on. But I'm saying, so to me, it sounds wild. She was not understanding why his new chick was mad. But I'm like, from my perspective, bitch.
I can't speak on every other relationship, every other things that people been through. I can only speak on mine. Right now that I got baby moms, right? If my baby mom said that she was in help, she didn't need, because at the end of the day, if my baby mom's struggling, my kid's struggling. My baby mom hurting, my kid's hurting, everything. So if my baby mom need to get bailed out, yes, I will run if I had it. Because right now, Lonnie broke. So don't do nothing to incriminate yourself. Please. I can't help you right now. Please. But I would. Because, yo,
if I could.
My kids' mother need their mom. So yeah. I don't see nothing wrong with that. But, you know, everybody else.
But here's the thing. Here's the thing about that, right? There's a certain level of maturity and security
right.
that comes with dealing with somebody who has kids with somebody else. Yeah, you seen that? So it requires somebody to be mature enough to understand the situation.
Right.
Then it requires you to be secure enough in your current relationship not be worried about
that's it
that.
Right here.
And a lot of people don't secure. Have both of those.
Facts.
You might have one.
You ain't got both.
But you ain't got both.
Facts.
You Facts. Got peanut butter, but Facts. You ain't got no jelly.
Exactly. Facts. So Uncle Facts' point was dead on. Like, listen. No, we not in a relationship. No, we not fucking. But if she's fucked up, my child is fucked up. And if she is the provider. If she's the primary place where my child is at.
Right.
That protect the home.
I have to protect that. So when you deal with an individual that's coming in, and this is what we talk about, putting shit on the table.
Right. Yeah.
When you push this shit on the table, be like, listen. No, we don't have a fucking relationship, but what we do have is we're both co-parents, and that is, she has primary custody. So me being the individual that I am, it's my job to make sure it's right there. Now, there's a lot of people who deal with people who ain't secure enough that be like, oh, well, for example, your baby mom got in trouble with the law. You should try to get full custody of your kid.
No,
it's not that time. What it is it's about making sure that my child doesn't miss a beat in their daily routine. So if I have to take them to school for the next couple of days as the legal situation gets worked out, fine, but I'm still going to help out my baby mom, because at the end of the day, this is a person who I laid down and we had a child together.
Thanks.
And like, so this situation, no matter what you might think of me and her, this situation needs to be as stable as possible for my child. Because it's no, as we said that. Earlier, it's bigger than Nino Brown.
That's the man you want.
You know what I mean? It's bigger than Nino Brown. And
but nah.
I say all that to say this, man. At the end of the day, man, do yourselves a favor, man. Talk with your partner. Be honest with your partner. But more importantly, receive the message. But don't talk. Don't have these serious conversations and moments of conflict.
Right.
But have these conversations and moments of calm.
Facts.
Because in conflict, your message can be misconstrued.
Facts.
Hey, yo, I went through this the other day and everything. Like, yo, our best moments was, right, when we was building off of energy for each other. We was building off, like, negativity. The things you did wrong, the things I did wrong. It was not no altercation happened. It is random. Like, that's when you get shit accomplished. Because y'all not aggressive. Like, if I come to my girl when I'm mad at her, I got a motive. And I'm gonna stick to my guns. I'm gonna get to my motive. I don't give a fuck what you saying. But whatever, you come to your significant other without a motive, now y'all both gonna understand. Y'all both gonna listen. Y'all both gonna bring it to the table. There's not gonna be no whatever, I don't care.
There's nothing worse than when you're trying to have an honest dialogue and a moment of turmoil.
Mm-hmm.
Because the myth, everything that you say is going to be
blah, blah, blah. Blah, blah, blah.
Everything you're going to say is going to be dissected for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
When, even though as an individual on one side of the relationship, you're sitting there and you're exposing yourself, even though there's turmoil amiss, but you're trying to expose the honesty about the turmoil, you can't gain a lot of ground.
Right.
But if you sit there and you have these quote unquote tough conversations when there's nothing, when there's no immediate danger, fire, or threat, you can do so much more.
But yo, but first of all, when you say tough conversations, right? Whenever you're dealing with your significant other, right? The person you love, the person you care about, the person is your everything that you would die for, mm-hmm. right? A conversation shouldn't be tough. It should be natural. Like, you say, I mean, you can sit around and tell me, Tweety, and Cam, and Uncle Drew, we can sit in this room right here and have a natural conversation without even thinking. We just flow with it. We just gonna flow with the conversation. That's how your relationship is supposed to be, right?
It should.
But what happens is, if you gotta think about what you're gonna say because you don't wanna say nothing wrong to discriminate you or to make your significant other mad, that's a problem.
I get that, but to respond to that is this, right? When we come to the table and we put it all out there,
right?
We know this is a safe place, so to speak, where you're judgment free.
Okay, right.
When you have this conversation with your significant other, you have to be leery of judgment because your significant other shouldn't judge you, but they will judge you because you guys have made a decision to build and bond together, whether it's short term or long term. But you guys have made that decision to do this, right? Mm-hmm. But it comes back to the foundation on what you built it on. If your foundation is built on lies and fairy tales, it won't be able to sustain any type of storm that may come.
I like that. But yo, you got foundation, you got houses, right? Everybody loves the beautiful house. Mm-hmm. The big house, the mansion.
I think foundation ain't shit.
Yo, you got your big house, like beautiful house and everything, right? Liking something, like a liking. Like you see a girl that you like, say I saw Nicki Minaj. Damn, she got a fat ass, right? I want to be with her, me and her start talking, all of a sudden we start messing around every day. Boom. Alright, we build this big ass house. That's a fucking house, right? You got somebody that come along your life, that right? That you don't know why you love them, but you love them, right? That's a foundation, right? But it's different because you so trapped up in what everybody else sees and what like what it is to like and what it is not to like. Meaning that everybody think that when you see the video vixens, mm-hmm. the Instagram, come on, I got an Instagram thing, it's crazy. It's crazy. But anyway, but when you see them, you be like, yo, this is what I need and everything. But that's just a house, right? A house is nothing without a foundation. So you can like all these fat asses, all these pretty girls, all these girls with the fat ass titties and everything like that. You can like all that, it don't mean shit. The foundation is somebody that you vibe with, that you've grown to love. That's your foundation. So now, you could take that foundation and move it anywhere. I want to go to California. I got my foundation though. But if you got a house that's fucking already built already, or because of likes, where everybody else like, you're going to be stuck. You look stupid. You're going to be look dumb at the end of the day. So foundation is something that is something within you that you got to find, not society. Society build up likes. Fuck that likes. We need a love button.
Facts.
We need a love button. The love button is better than the like button. Like button is temporary. Goes away. People forget about it.
Facts.
You can't forget about who you love, though. That's facts!
Oh. With that being said, man, every Friday, tune in and get the Question Everything podcast.
Touch my fucking head.
On Saturdays, you get us, your drunk uncles.
Ho. You know, I love you, Deck. I'm going to cut you off. I'm going to say something right now and let everybody know how I feel. Everybody on live, everybody in the room right now. I'm going to tell you what Lonnie ain't going to stop fucking doing. He's going to stop coming here on Saturdays wearing Question Everything fucking gear.
Yo,
it's no knock on y'all, but when we have an event, we all wearing our shirts. What does Lonnie say?
Q word.
It's a C word. I can't find it in my shirt. But he makes sure he got a crispy and fucking clean Question Everything podcast.
Like he ironed the bucket that shirt.
Question Everything bucket on.
Yeah, the bucket.
He got the bucket.
Word.
And shout out the drunk ones, man.
Listen, me and him together to cop three different motherfucking Kangos. He ain't got none of them no more. He got more shirts than me in Night Night. He ain't got them no more. But on Saturday,
The message is stolen.
The message is on Saturdays, you are a cripple when you're supposed to be blooding. And I'm over it.
Well, in my defense, personally today, I'm not wearing no Drunk Onks apparel. What I am doing, though, I am wearing the Get 'Em Girl Crew t-shirt.
That bar's wrinkled, though.
Fresh out the bag.
I my shit back. When I...
I was in transit, so it is what it is. But wrinkled or pressed,
the fucking support,
the support is still there for our homies at the Get 'Em Girl podcast. But like I was saying, man, Fridays, it's the Q show. Saturday.
And if y'all ain't tuned in last night, please go look at the video. Just look at the door of the live video.
This big ass red man we got both.
So
red man, that's anyway, red man, that's red man.
Fridays. Fridays is the Question Everything podcast. Saturdays is Drunk Onks podcast.
Yes.
Most Sundays when she's not traveling the world, we got High Tea with Jess.
Tomorrow at noon.
It's Sunday, so she's going to be here.
It's tomorrow Sunday too.
It's the first Sunday. It's week one of the NFL. Get your tickets in. Get your gamble.
Yeah, I need my tickets in.
I hope somebody hit. If you do, facts. I just need a small percentage. That's it. But we are your Drunk Onks. You can follow us on Facebook at Drunk Onks Podcast, Instagram at Drunk Onks Podcast, Twitter @Drunk_Onks and Drunk Onks Radio. And if you're not into all the social media, you can go right to our own website, drunkonks.com.
Yes.
Catch us on Spotify, iHeart, and Apple Podcasts, and any other avenue that streams podcasts, with the exception of Tidal, but Count Your Days.
We count your way. Fucking days. Ooh, you know what? I just noticed Mr. Softy ain't show up.
Bro, I'm trying to wrap this up before you hit the block. do us a favor, man. Like, follow, share, subscribe, download, review. Above everything else, support. We are your Drunk Onks. It's our podcast. See y'all next week.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.